guys, welcome back to the Daily Actor Interview Podcast. I'm Lance Carter. I'm a huge fan of Martin McDonagh's work. I've read his plays and loved his 2008 directorial debut in Bruges. So when I got a chance to talk to him, I was beyond excited. Starring Colin Farrell, Sam Rockwell, and Christopher Walken, Seven Psychopaths is a crazy and hilarious movie about, yes, psychopaths, but it's actually more about friendship. It's about a struggling screenwriter, played by Farrell, who's trying to write a film, while his friend, Sam Rockwell, is secretly teaming up with a dog napper, played brilliantly by Christopher Walken. When they steal the dog of a mob boss, played by Woody Harrelson, all hell breaks loose. Now, I could have talked to Martin all freaking day, and I had a ton of questions to ask, but I did my best in the time allotted, and what you're about to listen to is probably one of my favorite interviews I've ever done. We talked about casting, the great Christopher Walken, his writing process, and a ton more. I really do appreciate it when you support the advertisers because every little click does help. And don't forget to check out our actor resources page, our other interviews, and our daily news items. You can check all of that out on the site, dailyactor.com. And now, here's Martin.
Well, we had some nice actors in this one.
You had some... Yeah, they weren't there. They're okay.
It was like my dream... Literally, I couldn't think of a better actor in any of the parts. Or not like a dream hero actor for anyone.
Yeah. Well, you know, I know you worked with a lot of the cast before.
Yeah.
How did you just ring them up and say, hey, what's up? What are you doing in March?
Pretty much, yeah. Colin, obviously, I'd done Bruges with him, and we said we'd work together anytime we wanted to. And we talked about the script. He read the script. He said, yeah, I'll do anything you want. Then we left there for a few years, you know, I said, I didn't want to work for a few years, so we'll get back to it sometime. Then Sam and Christopher, I did a play with them in New York about two or three years ago. And I'd known Sam a little bit, and I've been trying to do a play with him a few years before that, so I've loved his stuff for 10 years or more. I've known him for about 7 or 8. So that was, you know, do you want to do this? Yes, okay. And Christopher, yeah, just sent it to him. He had a couple of questions. We spoke on the phone, and then he said, yeah. And it literally, like a day after sending the script. And Woody had known for, like, Woody's a big theatre guy, so he knew my stuff from years ago, and I'd known him for about 10 years, and he said yes straight away, too. So it was like, dream. Tom, I almost did a sort of stage musical kind of thing with him, and I thought, well, he'd be fantastic. He's never going to, you know, doesn't do very many films very often.
Mm-hmm.
But I just emailed him, told him a bit about it, and so I had an idea. I know you've got a new album coming out and all that stuff. And I told him what the character was, and he said, what? I get to carry a gun and a rabbit? I'm in. I don't need to read the script.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And then Harry Dean Stanton, like I've adored since I was a kid. And the two ladies, Olga and Abby, fantastic actresses too. So it's like I was in heaven.
Yeah.
And they're all really lovely people too, so it wasn't like having to work around a movie star who's going to be a shit every day.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
I couldn't work, if films were like that, I just wouldn't do it. But I've been so lucky on this and Bruges that everyone is just a dream. Well, I think in terms of actors, I think really good actors are that way. They don't, it's the insecure ones who aren't good enough who'll give you the movie star shit.
Mm-hmm. When you get these guys in your film, do you go back and kind of touch it up a little bit, rewrite it for sort of their, you know, forte, I guess?
Not really, no. I mean, Christopher will make whatever script his own, and every single word is intact.
Was it?
Yeah. It's just, every single comma wasn't, and every single question mark wasn't. So he'll say every single word, but it's in Chris's way of...
Well, you know, I read an interview where he said he actually just types everything out in one long sentence.
Yeah, yeah, no punctuation.
Yeah, yeah.
No, yeah. And it's genius, it works. But no, I think probably... Colin's character was originally not Irish, but once he was cast, it would have been silly to, you know... It was actually more fun to make him more Irish and have more aspects of my character in some ways. So there are a few Americanisms that were changed. Aside from that, no, I kind of once I'd give a script out, I've usually had it for months, if not years. Mm-hmm. I'm not really into shaking that up.
Yeah. Yeah, this is Christopher Walken's, I don't want to say the best role he's been done in years, but man, he was just perfect in this.
He knocked it out of the park.
When you...
Well, he's got that... He's always got a kind of danger, you know, he was a little scared of him, but he's so kind of vulnerable and sweet with the danger, and there's such an integrity to what he does mm-hmm. on screen. Always, but in this especially. But yeah, he is a genius.
Do you direct him, or do you just turn on the camera and say, action?
You kind of... You have... With all the boys, I had like about 2 weeks rehearsal.
Oh, okay.
And I had the same on Bruges, about 3 weeks. Which for me is just like talking the script through, making sure we're all on the same page about character and what each line means. And after that, especially with Chris, you just kind of let him go.
Yeah.
And he said to me, like on the first or second day, he said, I'll give you it 5 or 6 different ways. Don't worry about it. And it wasn't really until I saw it back in the editing, when you're seeing each, you know, 5 or 6 takes, that they were all so subtly or strongly different that, you know, you could have made this each of the scenes completely comedic or terribly sad or very angry, and it gave you all that. Mm-hmm. And it's also kind of subtle that you didn't really realize on the day. So no, you don't really direct.
Yeah,
Christopher. But it's good. Like now, going into it, I would do even less of that because I trust him so much mm-hmm. to give everything that.
Is that easier for you when you go into the editing room, see all those choices?
Yeah. I used to think it was all about keep doing it until I hear it the way I hear it in my head, but I don't think that's as true anymore. Especially with this one, it's more about being a bit more freeing with them, because you know they'll give you so many options. So yeah.
You said you took a 4-year break. What were you doing?
Just traveling and writing, and because I wrote the play that Chris and Sam were in that kind of 4 years.
Okay.
So when I say I always say I'm doing nothing for 4 years, but that includes writing. Yeah. But it just means like not making a film, because it's not hard work like a coal miner or a nurse or something. Uh-huh. But it's 2 straight years of only thinking about that. So I like to travel, read, and write.
What do you like better, writing screenplays or film or plays? Are they kind of different things for you?
They're kind of similar, to be honest, and I enjoy them both right now because I've done 2 or 3 film scripts back to back. There's like one that's ready to go that hasn't been seen. I'm kind of in that mindset, so I almost feel easier about writing another film. I'll have to kind of unlearn a couple of things to go back to writing a play, but no, I enjoy them both.
You know what I loved about this movie is that even though it's called 7 Psychopaths, but and it's violent and all that, but I think at its heart it's a film about like love and friendship, you know.
Good. Yeah, that's what I was hoping it would be.
And it's kind of like, if you I guess take a step back, it's kind of sweet.
Yeah,
too, you know.
Yeah, I mean, because Colin's character says that at the start, that he doesn't want it to be about guns and violence and that whole macho thing. And hopefully by the end of it, even though we have had a lot of guns and violence and macho stuff, what I intended was that you come away with the place that Chris's character takes us to, that story about the monk, and you know, but it doesn't have to be that. It doesn't have to be the typical 7 Psychos film. Mm-hmm. You can have a film that's called that, but still be talking about peace and love and kind of get there. So I'm glad you got that. But also like the love between Colin and Sam's character, I think, is kind of what it's about. It's this friendship that is, you know, kind of skewed, and at one point one feels like the top dog, and then mm-hmm. it kind of changes, but the love between them is kind of palpable throughout.
Yeah, and even though Sam's character's clearly a complete psychopath. He's, you know, at one point he bursts in the room and he saves them, you know, and it seems a lot of his motivation is just out of love of,
almost all of it. It's just to push.
Mm-hmm.
He thinks Marty is this genius and he just wants to push him to make the best script that he can possibly make. But the trouble is that he wants it to be kind of his own version of the script. But it's still, it's all pushed out there. It's like a stage mom.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Not realizing how screwed up you are because you want to do that.
In the script, was it ever stated like how successful of an actor Sam's character was?
No, he was always pretty unemployable. Like the getting into fights at auditions was, I think, a recurring theme. So, and I think the dog kidnapping always made more money than the acting. Uh-huh.
Your films are like heavily dialogue driven, and a lot of films that are like that, I could honestly care less. I just want them to get on with the story. But your stuff. Like, if you spent another 10 minutes with just your characters just talking, you know, I could have, you know, that was just thoroughly enjoyable. Do you sort of get that from your plays, the things that you've written? And I guess what I want to ask is, how do you keep that enjoyable while other films are just like, this is just awful? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think it's, I love dialogue, and I love good, odd. I mean, mine is kind of odd dialogue, and they go to odd places. And it's not about, the dialogue isn't about exposition or moving a scene on.
Yes.
Sometimes it's about stopping a scene and talking about bullshit.
Yeah, yeah.
But it should never feel like you're going, isn't this bullshit? Yeah.
And you find out so much about your characters that way.
Yeah, it's almost all it is, because it's the way we are in real life too. It's not about, I don't know, but that's irrelevant because films aren't that. But, there's a joy. Plot sometimes is, there's this kind of similar film from film to film. But dialogue and characters don't have to be. And it's not, you know, this isn't about what's next in a dog kidnapping thing or what's next with the Woody Harrelson. When, like, the whole idea of, like, going to the desert and stopping was kind of fun. It's like, screw the plot. We're gonna talk for a bit, but at the same time, you can only play around with those conventions so long without losing your audience, without being kind of smug and thinking you're better than your audience. I think so. It's a balancing act. Of there was probably like 20 or 25 minutes of really cool extra scenes in this, but it just, which did what you said, 10 minutes more, you know, talking, but it did slow it down,
yeah.
And it was too much fun. So, as much as I like that stuff too, you do have to, this is a version when it has been cut out. You know,
would that be on the DVD?
Yeah,
cool. Nice. what's your writing process like? Do you like wake up early or then just write all like a madman?
If I'm working on something, then yeah, I'll get up like 8 or 9 and. I'll do a set number of pages a day or a set number of hours a day, but it isn't too many. It's like maybe 3 hours or 3 or 4 hours or 4 or 5 script pages. And then just leave it for the rest of the day and go back to it then the next morning. But then keep doing that until the whole thing's finished. And each day kind of rereading the previous days and then moving on 3 or 4 pages more. But then when it's done, I kind of don't do anything for months and months. I might go back to it after that, but I can't, kind of don't usually say something's finished until it's ready to go completely. I won't send it out until I think it's fit to be a film or a play, you know, because I don't get notes from anyone else and I don't listen to agents or friends, or I won't say it's finished until it's finished.
Do you have an outline before you start writing, or do you just...
No,
just... Pen and paper.
Like this one was just title and...
Oh, yeah?
No, literally pencil and notepad.
Oh, you write with a pencil? Oh, wow.
Yeah, kind of bigger one than that. Like, so...
yeah.
Because I can travel with it and write on beaches or on trains.
And then do you just give it to somebody to retype?
No, then I'll type it up at the end, because that's like a second draft, too.
Okay, yeah.
But yeah, no, I didn't know where it was going this one, like, and I think I had the Quakers psychopath story as a, like, a little short story, and the idea of Colin's character having a title for something but not having enough psychopaths, but still not wanting it to be violent, and that's all I had. And then his friend popped up, and then his other friend popped up, and then I thought, well, what if that friend was the guy in the Quaker psychopath, and then it, so it just kind of built like that. But I didn't really know where it was going scene to scene.
When you're writing and creating these characters, do images of certain people pop up in your mind and you kind of, you know, write like that?
Not so much, no. Not so much. Sometimes a line of dialogue can give you a key to the whole character. It can be just odd, or it can be have a southern lilt, or it can just be just skewed, and that will give you an entire, you know, characterization, I think.
And then they're going to kick me out here in a second, but what are you working on next? What's coming up?
I've got a film script that's the opposite of this, in that it's got a really strong female lead who's like 55 years old, and it's really tough and interesting, and doesn't get her head blown off. So it's the exact opposite. So that's, but I'm not going to do anything for another 3 or 4 years. I'm going to travel and write and think and grow up.
Do you have another play coming up?
No, they're going to do, I think Daniel Radcliffe's going to do the one of my older Irish plays next year in London.
Oh, nice.
So some of the old ones are going to come back around. No, I mean, in the next 3 or 4 years, I might write another one. I haven't done that for a bit, so.
Yeah.
But no new stuff.
Listen, you might write another one. Just banging out another one out.
Yeah. At Christmas.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Hey, thank you so much.
Cheers.
I really appreciate it.
Cheers. No worries.
Thank you so much, Martin, and thank you guys for listening. Keep coming back to Daily Actor for more great interviews, news from film, TV, and theater, and so much more. Thanks for supporting the advertisers. I'm Lance, and I'll talk to you soon.